You're listening to The Head Trash Show with the founder of Head Trash, Alexia Leachman. Head Trash is the home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence, and contentment in your life. Tune in every week as Alexia shares insights and simple strategies to help you create some headspace to experience confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, on today's show, I'm going to be chatting to a really fascinating guy. I'm going to be chatting to Matt Sisson. Now, Matt is, I'm sure he's not going to, well, he tells me this in the interview. He's only 46, and yet 3 months ago, he had a stroke. And the doctors told him that it would take him months to recover. Now, the whole half of his body just basically fell away. Well, not fall away, but it was all weakened and he lost all use of the right side of his body. And the doctor said it would be months, and he managed to heal himself in a very remarkable short space of time. And here I am, 3 months later, chatting to him on the podcast, and you would never know that he had a stroke just 3 months previously. Really, really fascinating. And so what he shares with us on the podcast is basically how he managed to heal himself from his stroke. And he's going to be sharing with us exactly the steps that he took. Now, he is the author of a book, Life is the Perfect System, Uncover Your Life's Path, Discover Your Spirit's Purpose. And interestingly enough, he was just about to kind of publish the book when he had the stroke. And the stroke had a very special message for him that you'll hear more about during the chat. And to help illustrate the kind of work that he does, he actually does a little bit of clearance work on me during the show. So this is going to be really useful for you to listen to, because it means that you can kind of just give a go, you know, try using his approach to clearing some of your own stuff. And it really is a very simple and straightforward approach that you'll definitely be able to just hit the ground running with and try straight after you listen to the podcast. So it's really an interesting chat. Matt does some all sorts of great work over in the US, and he's got some really great insights to share, particularly around how our body is really the key to everything. And if we ever notice any kind of dis-ease in the body, then it really is our deeper self trying to communicate with us. And so he tells us how we can kind of understand and interpret those messages and then act on them. So really, really powerful stuff that can bring about massive, massive transformations. And, you know, he is a testament to the work that he does, with the very fact that he managed to bring himself back on a road to recovery from suffering from a massive stroke. So this is the time that I spoke to Matt Sisson all about, well, all kinds of stuff, actually, transformation and the self-healing journey and more. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Head Trash Show, Matt.
Hi, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Alexia.
Now, Matt, you are the author of the book, Life is the Perfect System. So we're going to talk all about that in a little bit. But before we do, would you mind just sort of sharing with the listeners a little bit about who you are and how you came to write such a book?
Well, I started back in 2001. That's probably when I started to become a hypnotherapist and a coach. And before that, I was a fitness trainer. So a lot of things that actually led me to where I am today. There's one thing in particular, a story I like to share, actually. And hypnosis, the world of hypnosis got me started in this whole thing. And if you took a piece of paper and you wrote the word hypnosis on it in capital letters, and then you took out the first three letters, HYP, and if you can imagine turning it upside down, my last name will show up.
Ah, of course.
So I kind of say like I was born into it.
You were.
And since then I've added a lot more tools than just hypnosis. But nowadays I love more transformation coaching than anything else.
Okay. So what kind of things do you typically help people deal with or change in their lives?
Well, when I first started, I got into really focusing on a lot of physical issues, because many times Physical issues can have an emotional root cause. So when I was living in Los Angeles, I actually had a wonderful opportunity working with people who had HIV and AIDS. And fortunately for them, or fortunately for me, I should say, they came to me and I realized the more I can actually cleanse out their emotions and cleanse out what's happening inside of their body as a result of the conditions and programs they've held on to, the faster and the better they felt, the better they healed.
Wow.
So to me, it's actually I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but the body is a temple. The body is the key to everything, and that's what we must listen to, because it's our filter to let us know what's truly us and what's not us.
Now, I know you just said you're jumping ahead a bit, because we had a little bit of a chat before we started the podcast recording, and you shared something with me recently that, you know, you just had your own sort of physical challenge to deal with. Do you mind just sort of talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm relatively young, 45, 46 years of age, and about 3 months ago, I was actually going through a pretty stressful time in my life. I actually had a stroke, and it was a pretty bad stroke. It was one of the strokes where I could not even speak. I mean, the words would not even come out of my mouth because I couldn't even say it. My whole right side was weak. My arm was weak. Every time I tried to walk, I would trip over my right foot, and every time I was, the first couple days when I was in the hospital, all the doctors and the stroke director, they kept telling me it's going to take me many months to many years to get over this. And I remember sitting there getting actually really scared. And when you're really scared, we really have to be careful, because that's when suggestions can get into our subconscious mind. Mm. So I used a lot of the techniques that I pointed out in the book and all the stuff, all the tools that I've learned. And one day, after getting all this stuff out, things quieted down. I got into this really wonderful state of meditation. And I kind of gave myself my own message. And again, in a polite way, I won't say it out fully, but I said, F that. Yeah. I'm going to do this in 3 weeks.
Brilliant.
By the time I got out of the hospital, which was 5 or 6 days, I saw a neurologist. The neurologist said, who was very shocked, by the way, that I healed so quickly, I asked her, can I exercise? And she said, well, as long as you're not running a marathon, it looks like everything's fine. And since then, I've just been exercising, and you wouldn't be able to tell that I had a stroke. Everybody's actually surprised every time I tell them.
It's amazing. So basically, from like today, when did you have this? What, like 3 or 4 months ago, was it?
Oh, God, about 3 months ago.
Amazing. And so they thought that you would be needing to spend, what, months in recovery. And here we are having a chit-chat on a podcast 3 months later, and you're about to bring your book out. Or you just bought your book out.
Yes. No, they're telling me months to years just to get a little normal again.
Amazing. Tell me, what did you – just sort of – if we could just zoom into that little moment where you had that quiet word with yourself and you started maybe – dealing with what did you do? What was happening? How did you get, you know, heal yourself?
Yeah. You know, again, to me, the trick to everything is the body. We've got to listen to the body, because this is how I like to explain it. Our natural state, our state that we should be in, where we can really listen consistently to that intuition inside of us. And again, my explanation is, if you don't feel like you're hanging out in Bora Bora, right, with a margarita or some kind of drink in your hand, watching the sun come up, and you're just not that peaceful. I mean, that peaceful state is your natural state. That's when we can listen to our intuition. That's when we can listen to what's really inside of us. Anything outside of that becomes programs and conditionings that we've learned along the way. And we can feel that in our body, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever our body's ever stressed, and if we feel a little bit of tension, there's something inside of us that's not truthful to who we really are. Mm-hmm. Right? So to me, that's the key. We have to listen to that. And so when the doctors and the stroke director kept trying to tell me that, my body was just getting really tight. It was getting anxious. It was getting panicked. And to me, that's not a bad sign. That's a sign that my body's trying to purge something out so I could listen to what's inside of me. And so I just found a way to purge it out, and I can go deeper into that if you want.
Absolutely, because I'm just curious. You know, you say that the body, you know, and these are themes I'm very familiar with and are totally, totally up for as well. You know, the idea that we really need to, you know, it's our body speaking to us, and it's up to us to try and listen to what our body's telling us and to decipher those messages. And then not only that, but then take action and figure out how to sort it out. So it's no mean feat to do all of that. So I'd love to know how you figured out what your body was trying to tell you, and then how you went about, you know, healing yourself or doing whatever it took to get you back onto the road to recovery.
Yeah. Again, I think the body is like this is what I say. The body is the gateway between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. Mm. Right. The conscious mind is the thinking mind. The subconscious mind is the feeling emotional mind. And what's important to understand about these two minds is that the conscious thinking mind does not feel, and the subconscious emotional mind does not think. Mm. And the battle between these two minds shows up in the body. Right. And whatever's happening inside the body, we've got to clear out so that we can get these two minds to join together and create what I like to say is the holistic mind. Mm. And when we're connected to that holistic mind, we're connected to our soul, our spirit, to universe, to God, or whatever you wish to call it, then everything just starts to fall into place. Mm. So it's really, really, to me, it's about constant clearing of what the body's holding on to.
Okay. So when you sort of potentially imagine that you're sitting there having a moment trying to sort of listen to what your body was saying. How did that come to you, that information, or how did your intuition bring that forth to you so that you had an inkling as to what it was that you needed to clear?
Yeah, fortunately, again, for me, I think, I was born into this, right? So just from I've been doing this since 2001. So with my own journey and working with clients as well, I started to refine a particular process for me anyhow. Mm-hmm. And I really started to understand, again, I keep saying this, but it's so important. I don't think I can overstate it. Anytime your body is not in a state of peace and relaxation and balance, there's something that your body's holding on to that's not you. So for me, in this particular moment, when I had that stroke, I had to listen. Like, my whole right side felt weak, mm. right? So to me, I have something that I call a set. Whenever I'm doing a session with somebody, I'm looking for a set. Basically what that means is I'm looking for the sensation, I'm looking for the emotion, and I'm looking for the thought. Mm. So let's say, for example, I was in the hospital, my whole right side was weak. That would be the physical sensation. Mm. And then I would have to come up with the emotion. This is how I do it. The thought of this weak feeling in my body, in my right side, emotionally makes me feel, right? And emotionally makes me feel shut down, or emotionally makes me feel actually weak, in all honesty. So it was physical sensation and the emotion were both weak. And now I want to find the thought. I feel weak because. Mm. I feel weak because people are telling me something I don't want to believe. Right? So now I've got this whole set. I got the sensation, I got the emotion, I got the thought. And I start from there. And there's a couple ways to get that out. Depending on the intensity of the emotion, we need more physical ways to express it. The less intensity, simple contemplation on it would be enough. Okay. Right? It's kind of a funny scene. It would look funny if there was a camera in the corner in the hospital. Because I was in the hospital, and I had the drapes between me and my roommate. And there was a lot of physical stuff going on, a lot of intensity and emotion. So I was imagining, right, and like just getting all my emotions out, hitting this imaginary pillow and yelling things out, but silently, right, to get all these emotions inside of me. And then eventually calmed down, and then I started transitioning to something called tapping, EFT, emotional freedom technique. And then that calmed down, and then I started just contemplating on what my body was feeling as I was focusing on that set. And then finally it just broke. Then I got to that quiet moment. And it was, again, it was that peaceful. If you can imagine, I mean, I just had a stroke and I'm already feeling peaceful. Peaceful balance, and I had clarity of mind. And I just said, that's just ridiculous. I can do this in 3 weeks. Mm. Right? Then I got the message, and then all of a sudden things started to happen from there.
Wow. So when you say you got the message, did you get the message as to why you had the stroke, or the message that you're how to get better?
How to get better, but I also got some messages. The main message I got, if I had to learn something from the stroke, was simply to slow down.
Ah, makes a lot of sense.
Yes, I was trying so hard, especially with the book. The book I was trying to put out too fast, too quick, among other things. Everything for me was just about get it done, get it done, get it done. And all of a sudden, that thing that slowed me down, I started to realize I can actually get things done quicker if I actually slow down.
You see, I had one of those crazy situations recently where I'm literally trying to get a load of stuff done. And then both my kiddies, one of them had chicken pox home for ages. Then the other one had a growth spurt, home for ages, no sleep. I was getting no work done. Then the other one had chicken pox. Then the other one had a growth. Then there was teething. And it's like, I'm not getting any work done. And I just had to let go of my need to get this work done. And it's amazing. Since I let go, I needed to let go. And the universe was, you know, it's given me illness, disease, thing after the other, literally for like 2 months. And it took me a while to get the message. But once I had, that's it. It's all been fine since. And I've been letting go. It's amazing how life just gives you what you need to learn, doesn't it?
It is. It's a big reflection, right? I mean, that's why, you know, my book's called Life is a Perfect System, but it's also on the bottom I say it's reflective transformations, right? Because we really do have to listen to the reflections happening around us and how we're interacting with the sets that we're holding on to. And again, the body's the key, and it will tell you if the reflections that you're creating are in line with your authentic self or not. And unfortunately for me, although I've learned my lesson now, I wasn't really listening to that message of slow down.
So when you say listen to the reflections, is that, I'm interested in that phrase, using that word like that. You sort of, does that mean sort of as things come back at you based on how they go out into the universe and come back? Is that what you mean by the life's reflections?
Yes. Let's say, for example, like with your kids getting sick and all that, right? There was a part of the reflection, or actually, as you say, the set. I'm going to take a guess, right? I can't get anything done. It was probably the thought.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna guess the emotion might be like a bit of anxiety or panic or frustration. It might be.
Yeah.
Right. And let's say the physical sensation may have been your shoulders because you're carrying a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So if we're seeing the reflections happening outside of us, if we're feeling that tension in our body and our emotions and our thoughts are out of whack, then we've really got to stop and slow down and figure out what it is that we're holding on to, because we're creating that reflection. But if we have a reflection, we're all of a sudden, we're enjoying our time with our kids, we're enjoying our time with our spouse or whatever it may be, and our bodies are relaxed, we feel joyful, then that reflection is showing as a way that we're living authentically. So again, it's just I can't state it enough, but the body is so important. It'll tell you the small. I mean, it's a big metaphor, right? And like many times, people who carry a lot, who do more than their share, they feel that tension in their shoulders, right? Somebody walks into a room, and all of a sudden, you get a pain in the neck, and you realize that person is a pain in your neck.
So you talk about you've come up with your own system, as it were, that you've kind of developed. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about your system?
Yes, it's a reflective transformation system, and the basics of it, again, it's actually a very simple system, and it's amazing when I'm teaching other people, I actually have to de-hypnotize them from what they've learned because they made things so complicated.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I totally get that. People do love to complicate things, don't they?
They do, and it's absolutely amazing. And I sit back, I go, and I'm thinking it's real simple. All right. First and foremost, always listen to the body, and I've got an 8-step process that's involved in it. I won't go too deep in that, but it'll show you. First and foremost, we always got to find the sets, because when you can find that set, you'll always be in flow with the session. Like you know, I teach other therapists and coaches, and when they watch my videos of me working with somebody, they're always surprised. Like, how can your sessions flow so easily? Right, I go, watch what I do. Right, it looks complicated from the outside, but if you really look at the concepts, I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. I'm finding a set, and I'm just using the proper technique to clear that set. That's it. Until I get to the point where their bodies relax, and I'm watching their bodies like crazy. If you watch my sessions, I'm always pointing out to clients, because they don't even know that their bodies are going nuts. So you know, when I'm working with somebody, again, I'm looking for that set. It's a very simple process, but people make it so complicated, and I have to dehypnotize them from what they've learned so that they can come to a more simple idea of doing this. And people who have watched my videos of me working with other people, they're always very fascinated because they're like, Matt, how do you move so smoothly from one moment to the next? And I say, watch the concepts. Don't necessarily watch the techniques. I tell people, if you watch techniques, it'll mess you up. Right? But if you look at the concepts, you'll understand what's going on and you'll come up with your own techniques. And the concept is, again, finding that set and then using the appropriate technique to release that set in whatever way it needs to happen.
Mm.
And then from there, the body relaxes. And I'll point it out. I'll point that to clients. As soon as their body relaxes, I go, notice that yawn you just took. Notice how your shoulders just dropped. Notice how your breath is more clear. Notice how your eyes are more relaxed, right? Because many times they're so caught up in their overthinking, which, by the way, is our biggest addiction, in my opinion, is overthinking. They're so caught up in their overthinking, they don't notice what's going on inside their bodies. So I have to point that out to them. Mm-hmm. And when I can get people back into their bodies will filter out, again, what is not authentically them.
You know, when you're working with people like that, what typically kind of, and I know it could be any number of things, but what things do you find that you attract into the kind of people that you work with crop up time and time again for things that they need to kind of resolve in their lives?
you know, it's kind of funny. Lately, a lot of what I have been seeing are just issues about people needing to slow down because they're so fast. Everything's going so fast. And when I say, well, like, things are going fast, there's a saying that goes that the thought is worse than the task, right? And many times, it's not necessarily their life is happening so fast, it's their thoughts that are happening so fast, right? And whenever we're overthinking, our body does not get a chance to rest. Mm. And if we can't rest, then our bodies aren't really in healing mode for that next crisis. So we're already stressed out before that next crisis comes, and our body does not have the resources to really move through the crisis with more ease and balance.
Mm.
Right. So it's about really just helping people release the thoughts, sensations, and emotions that are blocking their way from them moving forward. Mm. That's a lot of what I'm seeing nowadays.
Okay. It's interesting because I just feel like that's exactly where I'm at as well at the moment. So it's interesting we're having this conversation just when I'm at that realization that I need to slow down. And I'm doing a lot of my own clearance work at the moment around the things that are preventing me from really just trying to sort of ease into this sort of just trusting in the universe place rather than this frantic pedaling forward. And I've got to make it happen now. And, you know, kind of, no, it's going to be fine. It's just going to be fine. And trusting that it's going to be okay. So that's exactly where I'm at. So it's interesting, the timing of this podcast. It really is.
Well, that's really difficult, though. It is difficult, right? Because it's hard. Because the idea of trust and faith is difficult because we're always trying to control our life, right? And we don't have faith in the idea. I mean, we have to realize that there is a certain system to this whole idea called life. I mean, if we think about how the solar system works and how the balance line, how the planets line up in balance, and how everything works in nature, there's a system behind everything, right? And I tell people, like, look at your heart, look at your brain. Isn't it a neat thing that you don't have to worry about how it works? It just works. Right, that lets you know right there that something is taking care of you. And if you can allow the old ideas and programs and conditions to get out of the way, again, your natural instincts will come up. And this is what I like to say. I call it the manifestation balance loop. I always say, you know, people are so focused on the idea of the law of attraction, which is a great idea. But I always say focus on the law of balance first, because from balance, you'll find out what you truly want, right? And if you're focusing on the law of attraction, you might be trying to manifest from an extreme state. I'm kind of veering off a little bit, but let me just say this. For example, everybody's always saying, you know, we gotta feel excited. We gotta feel excited so we can manifest what we want. But if you look at excitement and fear, if you look at fear first, what does fear do to the body? Heart rate rises, blood pressure rises, we make manic decisions. And if we look at the other side of the equation, what does excitement do? Heart rate rises, blood pressure rises, manic things start to happen, we can't make decisions. They both pull you out of a state of homeostasis and balance. Right? They're not meant to be sustained. They're simply guides to let you know which way your life should go. And when you can fully feel it and express that, then you come back into balance, and then you get to see the entire picture, then you'll get to move more freely with a sense of grace and a sense of clarity and ease.
And the other piece of the law of attraction, I think a lot of people kind of don't get, or the bit that's missing that's very rarely sort of communicated, is the fact that like thoughts attract like. But when it's an emotional thought, it actually repels it. So the minute you've got a load of emotion tied up with that desire, so the, rather than just saying, you know, I will be this person and I will have this in my life, if the minute you're making that a desire, you're actually, your emotions are going to start repelling it, and it's the last thing that's going to arrive, and you'll actually be attracting the very opposite of the thing that you want. So it's important to clear the emotional, the excess emotional energy around that, so that you are just doing the thinking around it rather than the emotional piece, because that can just send the whole thing into, it just throws the whole thing off balance completely once your emotions get involved in all that stuff.
No, exactly, exactly. I completely agree. I like to say when you're trying to think over an emotion, it's like painting over a dirty fence, right? For a short time, it's going to look good, but with a good rain, meaning a good experience or a bad experience, that rain will just wash away that thought, and we're back to the emotions that are underneath. I always say there's no amount of positive thinking that will ever beat an excess emotion that you're trying to hide.
So you mentioned, I mean, I'm interested in some of the sort of your tools and techniques and stuff that you help and assist people with. And you've mentioned hypnosis, and you've also mentioned emotional freedom technique. Are there any other sort of nifty little tools and techniques in your toolbox that you'd like to share?
Yes, I actually, a lot of what I use, that's actually affirmations, but
okay.
I don't necessarily use it in a way that's it's normally used. Like, people use affirmations as a way to feel good. To me, affirmations can be, yes, it can be used as a tool to feel good, but it can also be used as a tool to clear out what's hiding inside of you. And let me give you an example. Can I use you for example?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, just give me something light. This doesn't have to be crazy, right?
Okay.
Let's say if there's one thing that you want to change in your life, what would it be?
Right now, are we talking like an emotional thing or maybe a more practical thing?
A practical thing.
Oh, more fine. Support.
More support, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll show you how this whole thing works, right?
Okay.
So just give me a little bit more. Like, when you say more support, what do you mean?
Okay, so my other half has got he works away a lot. So I'm on my own with the two little ones. And so I'm feeling unsupported in that sense and would like, you know, around the house with the kids, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so when I hear something like that, right, I'm hearing many different things. So I want to first point out, what's the most intense part of that whole statement? Is it the fact that he's not around? Is it the fact that you have too much to do with the kids? Is it the fact that he's not supporting you? Like, specifically, out of that whole story, what comes up?
I just need a damn cleaner.
Okay, I can go with that. I can actually go with that. Right?
Yeah, these kids just make a mess everywhere. And so it's just trying to keep the house looking, not feeling like I'm living in a completely chaotic pit of crazy toys and food debris.
there you go. I mean, how neat is that, right? It actually moved from, we started talking about your husband, but it's not really about that. I mean, it's like the deeper issue is like, I just need a cleaner. Okay, so the thought that I live in this chaotic, I think you said chaotic, I can't remember.
Yeah, chaotic, crazy pit of food and toys or something.
Yes, the thought that I live in all this makes my body feel, like, physically, how does that feel?
Oh, quite a lot of tension around the shoulders, quite frustrated, and it feels relentless at times. It really feels, and they're lovely. It's not like they're sort of crazy problem children. They're lovely,
no, of course
it's
not.
High
course
energy not. Kind of intensity, and so it does feel a little bit frustrating, and relentless is the word that comes up time and time again for me in my head.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So the first thing, so already you're giving me a lot of emotions and a lot of thoughts, but the first thing that I want to do is focus in on the body.
Okay.
Right? So just let's go there. So again, the thought that I just live in this debris of chaos, right? Again, physically, what is showing up the most inside of your body?
Yeah, tension in the shoulders and around the neck.
Stay there, right? Okay, now say this. The thought of the tension in my shoulders and neck as I think about this debris emotionally makes me feel.
Say that again. So I've just got to say the feeling of the tension in the shoulders in my neck emotionally makes me feel, and then I fill in the blank.
Yes.
Okay.
And think about the debris.
It gets back to that word unsupported again.
Beautiful. Because
it feels like I'm just not, I've got a lot to carry.
Oh, say that. We're getting there. So the thought that I have a lot to carry in my shoulders makes me feel emotionally. See if we can get an emotional word, right? And you've already said something. You've already said, I'll throw it out there. You said frustrated,
yeah,
or relentless, right?
Yeah.
Is frustrated a good word to describe that?
Yeah. Frustration is quite a good word.
Perfect. And now, so we have the physical sensation, which is in your shoulders. We got the word frustration, which is an emotion. Now we want the thought. I feel frustrated because, then fill in the blank.
Because it's so damn messy all the time.
Nice. Wow. That's actually, okay, so to me, I hear a lot. A lot of people just say, well, think about the situation.
Mm.
But to me, I wonder how that may have been a pattern. I feel frustrated at the thought that it's so damn messy all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So here's how I would use the affirmation. So say this, I would rather feel blank at the thought of blank.
Okay. And so what kind of words am I looking for to put in those blanks?
So I'd rather feel, give me the emotion at the thought of.
Yeah. I'd rather feel calm at the thought of toys on the floor. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Or things organized or having it cleaner even, whatever it may be, right? It doesn't have to be truthful. It just has to be what you want. Right?
Okay, so I would rather feel calm and at ease, yeah, with crazy chaos.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so I will tell people this. So, I mean, close your eyes. We'll just do this real quickly.
Yeah.
So if you would, close your eyes if you're in that position, and just say, I feel calm and ease at the thought of crazy chaos, right? And then you're going to give me your first physical response. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or neutral. Don't judge it. Don't analyze it. We'll just do it like 5 times.
Mm.
If you can say, I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos. Let's say that out loud.
Okay. I feel calm and at ease with crazy chaos.
Beautiful. Where do you feel it in your body?
A little tension around the shoulders.
Beautiful. Don't judge it. Don't analyze it. Give me 4 more. I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
First physical sensation.
It's moved down to my waist, my hips.
Beautiful. Good. Keep noticing. 3 more. I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
Physical sensation.
Back in the shoulders again.
Beautiful. 2 more. I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
And then first physical sensation. Neutral, good, bad, or anything.
Back in the hips.
Beautiful. 1 more time. I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
I feel calm at the thought of crazy chaos.
First thing.
I don't really feel that much this time.
Yes! Okay, look. Okay, now remember. This is what I tell people, right? Emotions are short-lived unless we resist them.
Mm.
Right? So now we're paying attention to the body. I mean, if I do that consistently, most of the time their bodies actually start to calm down because they're listening to their bodies.
Okay.
Right? But let's say it didn't calm down. Mm. Then I would go and ask them, like, where now, out of all the body sensations that you pointed out, which one is sticking out the most? Is it the hips? Is it the shoulders? Whatever it may be. Right? Mm. And I won't go too much into it now. But then that would start pointing me in the direction of where to go exactly. Because our body will hold on to the memories that are holding us back, especially if it's an uncomfortable sensation.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, we'll start doing the tapping, emotion freedom, or whatever. I use EFT a little different. But we would start noticing, we would start not attacking, but we would start working with that particular body part to bring up the other sets that need to be cleaned out, and then I tap through it.
Right.
Right? That's how. So the body is the key to me. It's like a laser.
Mm.
It's a laser that tells us exactly where we need to go at any moment in time.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really interesting. So is that how you were helping yourself recover from your stroke then, using that approach?
Yes, definitely. I mean, again, my whole idea, the beginning I was my whole right side was weak, so I had lots of feelings of weak, which makes sense because I was trying to push through things really fast, and I didn't feel like I was strong enough to actually move through certain things. So I was hiding a weak feeling inside of me, right? And so I had to bring that up from the subconscious to the conscious and shine a light on it and admit it and acknowledge it so I could finally give it a voice and it could finally leave.
Mm. And so just over to the books. We've not really talked too much about the book. And just tell us a little bit about what's in the book then. So I'm thinking, based on the chat that we've had, that, you know, if people buying the book, they're probably going to have an insight as to the system that you're, you know, because it's called Live the Perfect System. Does that mean that you're sharing with them the approach they can use to start uncovering this stuff in their lives?
Yeah.
Or can you tell us a little bit more about the book?
Yeah, my tagline, okay, so it's called Life is a Perfect System, but my tagline is uncover your life's path and discover your spirit's purpose, right? And if I could put it in a nutshell, it's a lot of personal experiences, and that's what I keep getting a lot of good reviews about, is they really get to know me by the end of the book and the path that I've been on. But it's really, again, about clearing out. It's about finding that authentic voice, because we've all lost it. We've all just cannot hear it. And the more we can finally clear out all the conditions and the programs that we've got growing up from mentors, from family members, from and I'm not making fun of anything, but a society, a religious, or media that's constantly programming us, the more we can finally sit in that quietness and that stillness, and then we can finally hear that inspiration. Or the intuition. And if we could hear that intuition, we'll get inspiration. If we get inspiration, we'll find our purpose. And if we find our purpose, we'll manifest what we want. If we manifest consistently what we want, we'll find trust and faith back into our lives. And then that whole cycle starts all over again. But it really is about trust and faith. And many times we've lost it because we believed what other people have said about us.
So if somebody was to read your book, they'd sort of, do you guide them? You sort of handhold them along that journey so that they can, you know, is it a bit of a how-to book, or is it more inspirational in that sense?
It's a bit of both. There's four particular exercises inside of the book. It's spread out throughout the book, and it's also at the back of the book so that it's easy to find. But a lot of it is talking about the concepts, because my whole idea, again, if you understand the concepts, you'll come up with your own techniques. But if you understand only the techniques, you're going to be limited as to the concepts that you can find. So, the concept, I have one concept in here where I talk about the upper limits of good energy, and I got this from Gay Hendricks, who's a wonderful author and psychologist, and he talks about how when we start to feel really good, a part of us, it's almost unsettling, because a part of us goes, uh-oh, when's the shoe going to drop? And then next thing you know, we start sabotaging that good behavior because we have a certain limit of it.
Yeah.
And for me, the idea how to break it is by letting go of the baggage, quote unquote, that's preventing that upper limit from going higher. And that upper limit is not a bad thing. It shows you what you've been holding on to that's preventing you from continuing to move forward. So when actually, and this happens all the time. I used to teach something I'd call boot camps with a good friend of mine, Randy Shaw. And we did this exercise where we'd have people work on each other, and we'd get them so excited about whatever event that they brought up. And I'd say 8 out of 10 times, right, they pushed that excitement, and as they got more excited, all of a sudden, bam, something would come up that would be completely opposite of the excitement. And then it would show them what needed to be cleaned out. It was a fascinating exercise, because everybody expects, oh yeah, I can feel excited, oh yeah, I can love it, but then all of a sudden it shows them the opposite of why they can't go any higher.
No, I love hearing the talk of opposites, because the technique behind the head trash system, which is the 5 steps to clearing head trash, is reflective repatterning uses opposites throughout. And there's a great framework that we use within reflective repatterning that's about getting rid of your self-sabotaging behavior. And everything you just described there is exactly how we would approach it. And if there's a, you know, the thing is, we tap into, interestingly, if you think about Newton's third law, I don't know if you know Newton's third law, but every force has got an equal but opposite force, and you apply that to emotions. And so if you've got this great deal of excitement energy or something moving in one direction, you just have to know that there's an equal but opposite force at play. And so that's why you need to neutralize those both sets of energy, so you can literally just pave the way towards your goal without that emotional stuff holding you back, that's really just going to bounce you off the walls and prevent you from having a nice clear run at it, basically. And I think once people understand that sort of how the law of opposites can play out with your emotions, then that can really just allow so much of this stuff that holds you back to just drop away. And you can then, the world is your limit. You know, literally nothing holds you back then, right?
Oh, no, definitely. And it's funny you mentioned that. I actually talk about that in the book. Yes, because I talk about how we can use affirmations as a way to find out what's happening inside of you. And many times the affirmations does not feel good to the body because the body's trying to clear it out. But I always say every negative set that's consistent and intensive has an equal and opposite set, positive set, that needs to be expressed as well. And it's not necessarily something that's real. It's just it can be fantasy. It's just the opposite of the completely negative set. And when you can express both, then all of a sudden clarity comes in. Your mind becomes, again, real clear, and you get to see the whole entire picture. Mm-hmm. And when you can see the whole entire picture, then you have a better idea of where to go next.
No, it sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful. So your book is available right now, isn't it, on Amazon and all that stuff?
It is. It's on Amazon right now. So it's on Kindle and a book as well.
So I'm just thinking, we've just been chatting for ages, Matt, and I'm sure we could be chatting for loads more. But where can people find out? Because it all sounds so interesting. Where do people find out more about you online? Where can they get more details about your book and about you and your work and all that stuff?
Yes. I do have a blog. So there's a couple of places. I can go to my personal website, which is mattsison.com, M-A-T-T-S-I-S-O-N. And that'll point you to everything, all the other websites I have, or you can go to the book website, which is lifeistheperfectsystem.com.
Okay.
But on mattsison.com, you'll also find my blogs. So I have video blogs and written blogs, and
Brilliant.
People can catch up on there.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm going to have all those links on the podcast show notes, so that if anybody didn't get that, then you can just check out the podcast show notes, which will be at headtrash.co.uk/Matt. And that's just nice and easy for people to find. And there'll be all the details for the book, everything like that on there. Well, Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Head Trash Show. It's been absolutely brilliant. And for also doing a little bit of work on me. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being the example. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Wasn't he great? And wasn't that technique so damn simple? It's silly, isn't it? So I really hope that you're going to give this approach a try. And don't forget, you can buy his book right now on Amazon. All the links for all that stuff are in the podcast show notes, which, as I mentioned during the show, are at headtrash.co.uk/Matt. Now, this is the last podcast for a while because I'm going to be taking a break for the summer. As you know, I've got two kiddywinkies and I've got another podcast that I've got to keep going. And I'm just no way I'm going to be able to do this. So I'm going to be completely upfront with you and say, hey, and you know, it's part of my letting go thing. I've just got to let go of something. And unfortunately, this podcast is one of the things I've just got to let go of temporarily. So I'm going to be back in the autumn, but don't go away. I want to hear more about what you want to hear from me, any guests, any advice, anything like that, then do keep in touch. You know, you can find me at hello@headtrash.co.uk and give me lots of ideas for stuff that you want to hear in the future. So don't go far, and I'll be back in the autumn. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on the Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get your copy of the free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes for more strategies, tips, and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time.